That's release something on us, release something.
Release something on you, okay.
Number two.
Yeah, one of the things that has been on my mind lately has been discipleship. And I've been really thinking about discipleship. Buck and I have been working with some Chinese folks that are over here studying and doing research. And we've now started a Bible study. They're coming to our house on Tuesday nights. We got another Chinese fellow, actually two of them, and a girl coming over to our house on Sunday nights. And so we're just sharing with them God's love. We're sharing with them about, well, actually we're answering their questions. Whatever questions they got about Christianity, about the Bible, about God, we just try to answer them. They got some good questions. They got hard questions. Really hard questions, because they don't know the first thing. You know, they haven't been raised up around that. So we just share things we know how. We open up the Bible, let them read. Hey, don't just take our word for it. Read it from the Bible.
That's good.
Read it from the Bible.
That's good.
But the thing that I realize is, you know, hopefully one of these is going to get saved.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully one of these got saved. And when it does, you know, we need to move into discipleship, okay? And what is discipleship? What's the first thing you want to teach someone who becomes a Christian? What's the thing you want to really focus on? Well, I realized that I was studying over this and thinking, you know, the basis of our discipleship is to teach people to know God.
That's good.
Teach people to know God.
Relationship.
You know, one of the things I wrote down when I started the study, I said, the most powerful person on this planet is the one who knows God the best.
Amen.
Whoa. That's amen. Powerful.
The that most powerful person on this planet is the one who knows God the best.
Mm.
Now, you could change that. You could put in the most loving person. You could put the most happy person, the most peaceful person is the one who knows God best. And it would all be true.
Amen.
Amen? Because it's the one who knows God. That ought to be our goal, is to know God more and more and more and more. When we know God and we know how loving He is, how generous, extravagantly generous. He's an extravagantly generous Heavenly Father to us. When we know Him that way, we can ask Him for anything. We won't be afraid to ask Him for anything. As Brother David said, we are clothed in righteousness.
Amen.
When God sees us, He doesn't see filthy rags. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ.
Jesus.
And we can ask Him, and He is a loving Father. He is a loving, generous Father. He gives us good things. He doesn't give us bad things, does He, Brother David? He gives us good things. So when we just strive to know God more and more, because the more you know Him, the more power you got, the more peace you got, the more happiness, the more joy you got. I mean, like I say, the one who knows God best, that's the one who's going to be full of joy.
Yeah.
That's the one who's full of peace. That's the one to be the one that you can't shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's stern, he's firm, he's there, right? Because he knows his God is not going to let him fall, as you were talking about.
That's right.
God's protected you from getting
killed.
Yeah. Well, why? Because he's a good God.
Yeah.
And you know him as a good God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man. God is a good God. People, they don't know that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that God is good.
Mm-hmm.
They think God puts diseases on them,
mm-hmm.
sicknesses on them, and does all kinds of bad things to them.
Mm-hmm.
It brings all kinds of hurricanes and tornadoes at them. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. He's a good God. Would you put a sickness on your child?
No.
No. I mean, you wouldn't put cancer on him, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. No, he's a good God. He wants us to be healed. He wants good things for us. Know God. Study. Know God. Know God.
No.
Amen.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Can I just say this? Because this is so God. The Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son is prepping us and getting us ready. This scripture in John 15:7 is just bear witness. The Holy Spirit is saying to us that if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye, glory to God, will, and I shall be done unto you. It shall be done. We can, even if the kids ain't acting right, but you are abiding. Even if the man on the job ain't acting right, you are a body. Even if the marriage might not be like it should, but if he are a body, we a body. He said we can ask.
Amen.
We can ask. Sickness, it can't.
That's good. One day I'm gonna let these women lose all of them. Just be ready, cause I'm gonna let you lose. You know what Ray was talking about? The best snapshot I can give you out of the New Testament is Paul. Paul knew Jesus so well. Who's gonna separate us from the love of God? He said he knew him so well. He knew him so well until the devil said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know." When you know Jesus so well, the devil will know you too. He know he can't bother you.
Lord,
he know he can't mess with you. He know he can't.
Get on.
He told him, he said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know him too." And so it's very important that we know Jesus. And who said that they came to help us to show us Jesus and to know Jesus? The Holy Spirit. So we have no problem with knowing Jesus and seeing him. The Holy Spirit said, "I'm here for that, help you with that."
Thank you.
So that was very good, Ray. That's the most. Know him. That's the most. That's the most important thing, that you get that relationship and fellowship with him and know him.
That's the reason why all of us are here, is because the Holy Ghost drew us here.
Amen.
Drew us to salvation. No man saved us. It was because the Holy Ghost drew us. If it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost, none of us would be here.
My God.
He did it all.
He did.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
That's good.
He's operating in his office.
Lord. Amen. He's good. All right, Apostle.
All right.
Y'all continue to pray, by the way, for us and our ministry at the time.
Yeah.
All right.
I thank God for that. They gonna live.
I heard over in China there was some people going through China, and they would stop off in a little church that would have like 500 people there. They didn't have nobody to preach. They asked that man, "Would you preach?" And he stood there and preached for like 10 hours, because they just couldn't get enough. They didn't have no Bibles. Couldn't get enough. Then they said, "Will you come back tomorrow?" And so he wound up, he stayed there 2 weeks preaching every single day for like 10
hours. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And then he smuggled them a bunch of Bibles in. And whenever they got their Bibles, you know, it's on video, they kissed them and just cried.
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking, man, you know, here we are. We go anywhere and buy a Bible. At any given time, or ask somebody, they'll give you a Bible. And these people right here, man, now Christians are disappearing over there. They call it the disappeared, because they're just disappearing. You know, they don't even know where they go. Yeah, this one church lost 100 people. They don't even know where they're at. Because they're cracking down on it over there. Yeah, heavily. Putting them in re-education camps. We need to pray about that, too.
Those are our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, you better believe it.
You know, what we get a chance to do freely on Sunday morning, we don't realize somebody else is suffering to meet together and study Jesus.
Have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank God, but we don't have to hide this morning.
Ain't
we don't
that
have
something?
To do it. I'm so glad to see my son in there. It's a blessing to see him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Word works.
God is moving. I'm proud of my son. He's a blessing.
Blow your trumpet, Apostle. Blow it. I know you can blow it.
All right, we're going to look at something in presenting the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I said I'd get back to it. I saw something last week. And, this is God's glory revealed in suffering. Now, a lot of people, we are the ones who win. We're completing him. We can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of wrong teaching about suffering. People say God sent suffering to make you grow. Mm-hmm. Not true. Never was true. Never will be true. Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord about this. He said problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. That's where all our problems come from. But a healthy study of the Word of God will help us to live a fortified life.
That's good.
But in warfare, a person you know, this book, he's talking about something that's very important, living in your measure. We'll look at that in a minute. But the way people measure the Word of God, that's their strength. That's their ability to resist. And Ephesians 3 and 20, he said, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, mm-hmm. according to the power that works in us.
Yes.
The power that works in us can be increased, and there's no limit to it. We put the limit on it, or we learn to be unlimited in the Word of God, how we measure it. The enemy is trying to stop the progress of God.
Amen.
The enemy has launched a war against God's people. If he's attacking Christ, he's attacking you who believe on Christ.
Thank you, Holy.
Everything you do on to honor God, to be a blessing to your ministry, mm-hmm. even the love that you live, the enemy wants to attack it and stop it. Now, there was a man named Job, and this is on page 117. Fuchsia Pickett said, God allowed Job to experience severe trials in his life. Through Job's right responses to these painful experiences, he came into a deeper relationship with God. But this was not because of the problems. It was because he measured God's love. He was looking at the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he went by when things he didn't understand why these things happened until it was all over and the Lord revealed it to him. He was doing all that he knew, and then everything just shattered without warning, as an attack. And he didn't know why. And they had no revelation or not much revelation of Satan. Satan was always a factor. But through this, the Lord showed us our enemy, which we needed to see. Job had the character. He had the character love to withstand and endure and resist the enemy. And the Lord gave us a pictorial. If you want to learn warfare, study Job. The door that the enemy came through was his fear. He said, the things I greatly feared has come upon me. Mm-hmm. Fear is a belief. Mm-hmm. You have to kill it.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
And the Word of God helps us do a perfect love, cast out fear. Fear can be destroyed and driven out of our life. Just like the Philistines and the Canaanites were supposed to be driven out of Canaan. Everything that holds us back can be driven away as we measure God's love. The Word of God is the knowledge of love. And it's interesting how I learned that the Lord gave me this song, and I heard the angels sing that part. The Word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, the more we, you know.
Okay, say it again. Sing it again, just a little louder.
Say, the Word of God is the knowledge of, the Word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, the more we live.
The more we love, the more we
live.
Glory to God.
The more we love others, the more we live. That's the backbone of everything. The way we measure God's word is the way we love. Mm-hmm. The more we love, the more it means to us. Mm-hmm. The more we love other people, the more God's words mean to us. Mm. Now, he said something in this book, in the first chapter. He said, he was talking, this is what he received from the Lord. He said, the measure we live in is the measure that we have valued, received, and kept from the Word of God. The measure we live in is the measure that we have valued, received, and kept from the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, the part that you value mm-hmm. and receive and live in, that's what you're measuring to withstand the enemy and the ways of the world, and also to increase and grow in the Lord. So Job's attacks was designed. Satan was trying to make him curse God and die. Now, Job was the first illustration, but he was not the first person Satan did this against. He did everybody that. But Job was the first illustration that we can all read. And, I mean, we're studying war when we study Job.
And he also was the first one that had something to lose. You know, he had everything. He had kids, property, yep. livestock, everything.
Yep. And he went to zero. Then he lost his health. Then he came back double. And now, when God was with him, and he held fast to the character of God, the communion the communion time he spent with the Lord, the love he had for God, he knew God.
Relationship.
And that was the backbone, his love for God. He didn't understand what was happening, but he withstood. She said, he acknowledged the fact that when he cried, I have heard of these by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. He heard about God. He loved God. He believed what he heard. He operated in the measure that he had. But after this was over with, and the Lord explained chapter 1 and 2, now I see you. He saw God's position. He saw God's love. He knew for a fact that God had nothing to do with his demise. And he knew the enemy did.
Okay, so here's the question. What happened to the revelation and the knowledge and understanding that God is love and we were actually designed for love, not anything else, for love only? So what happened to that revelation to cause all the situations to happen in the Old Testament?
Men would lose, they would lose focus of that. Within us is the love of God. You know, when a baby's born, his spirit is lit. You can teach them about the Lord and they want more. But when people change focus, anytime a person starts looking at the world turns you against the things of God. The world system is an attack.
Always has been.
Yeah, and you know, the tribulation period to the church of Philadelphia, it was called the hour of temptation. Because when the tribulation began, raptures happens, tribulation began, the first thing the enemy is going to do is tempt people against God. Through pride, greed, lust, whatever he can, whatever he think will work, through fear. Fear can be a temptation. When the enemy tries to frighten you, he's tempting you to fear the situation, and it's supposed to steal your focus from God. And then he can attack. And your fear will cause what you hate or what you despise.
It also hurts your health.
Yeah.
It hurts your mentality. It hurts everything.
And you'll see yourself under Satan's foot and can't get out. You'll see yourself as trapped. You'll see yourself with a death sentence and estranged from God. That's what fear does to a person. Has torment.
Ain't that so?
But the love of God shows you just what Job did. He held fast to his integrity, his knowledge of God, and he didn't let anybody talk him out of it.
Not even his wife.
Nobody. His wife, his friends, and they were good friends. His friends were much older than he was. Now, Job is Isaac's third son. He went to Egypt after all this was over with. He probably increased everything double when he went to Egypt. And, you know, you can tell this because his friends were descendants of Ishmael and Esau. They were living around this time that he was a young man. So he was old enough to have grown children. He was probably in his 40s. And then and his friends were like his father's age, you know. So this man was an interesting man. He loved God. He hated evil. He shunned evil, and he feared God, and he shunned
evil.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah. Only problem is he did it out of fear. Whatever you do, you can tithe out of fear. It won't work right. Tithe has to be out of love and the will. The way we measure to be measured up. Okay. All right. Finishing up. From trial to trial, from victory to victory, the spirit of glory is changing us fiery trials come to test our patience and to form godly character in us. Now, actually, the trials come to distract us. But it's your love of God that causes character to grow in you. It's not the trial. You're just going to find out that the trial is defeatable. That's what you're going to learn from the trial. You're going to say, hey, I won. I kept loving God and I won. And now you start measuring God's word in a greater way. And the Holy Spirit came to help us enjoy that kind of glory. All right, we'll pick it up here next time.
Good stuff.
See, God, he's with us. And he don't change. His word don't change. Job gave us a snapshot of reality. And that's how we win. All right.
Deuteronomy, where we learn about the curses and the blessings.
Yeah.
So, rewinding forward, so Job, those who were behind him, they all knew that God's word says that if you do these commandments,
mm-hmm.
but to
from the heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that revelation was there, but thank God for his grace.
Remember, though. Job lived about 400 years before Moses.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the oldest book of the Bible.
Yeah.
The law wasn't given yet.
But see, I want to be honest with you.
Know
I still
about the laws and the
no.
Commandments.
Yeah.
I still believe there were certain ground rules, though.
Yeah, conscious.
Yeah.
Conscious.
Because it was like a Lot. Mm-hmm. His daughters, mm-hmm. they had already been married. They were actually going through a celebration
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and it's 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and that right there, you know, was way before the law was ever given. Mm-hmm. But yet they still were celebrating that because that was actually part of the law. I believe there were certain ground rules that were still there.
That's
the
what
conscious.
I'm trying to figure out. If Job was before.
Yeah, he was.
He was. He lived about 400 years before Moses. Moses, he didn't write the law until after the Exodus. This
right.
was before they went to Egypt.
Right.
So the law was the conscious. And the conscious is more powerful.
That is awesome right there. I want to do some research in that.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry.
I still need
go
deeper on that.
Yeah.
I want to go more deeper on that.
Yeah.
But not now. I'm just saying. I'll have
that's
time.
Good stuff.
I'll remember.
Yeah.
The conscience is more powerful. That's why the law will work.
The conscience is stuff, too. If you program the conscience right, it'll direct the mind.
You have a law within you.
Yeah, it'll direct you. Mm-hmm. Dr. Carrie Lee, y'all need to watch her. She's on Copeland.
That's what happened to Adam and Eve once they
exactly.
ate tree,
exactly.
Then they conscious.
Yes.
So you're naked.
Exactly.
You know, and God don't want you anymore. You know, and you know, but.
So Job was around in that age.
No, he was right after the flood.
Right after the flood.
Abraham.
Remember,
was like
before
his,
Moses.
Remember,
Abraham was like his great 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 grandson or something like that.
Yes,
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
So
Issachar was Jacob's son. So. Isaac would have been his, Jacob would have been his granddad.
No, I'm talking about Job was, Abraham was like
his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad.
Yeah. Two, three times, four times, so forth.
Jacob was his granddad, and Isaac is great, and then Abraham is great-great.
Gotcha.
They multiplied and had children.
I haven't looked at that in a long time.
I understand that.
And he lived a lot longer. You know, how long did Job live? What?
They were living longer.
Yeah, like 300 years, somewhere there. 250, somewhere. It's like somewhere there. I can't remember. I have to look back.
It was a long time.
Yeah. Moses
175, I believe it was.
Moses fulfilled 120.
He came right after.
Moses did that.
Mm-hmm. That was 400 years later.
Right. But it took that long and everything for all the genes and everything to change. Because God said man will not live past 120, so Moses fulfilled that.
But that was then. That
right.
Was
it took that
she's
long.
She's trying to find out
think,
what generation
uh-huh.
was Job.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's name was turned to Israel.
Right.
Israel had 12 sons. And Issachar was one of Israel's sons. Job was Issachar's third son.
Oh, okay.
Now, the problem is, Hebrew words can, there's no J in the Hebrew alphabet.
Right.
His name would have been like Yob, or it started with a Y. It's spelled one way in Genesis and another way in Chronicles.
I got you. I'm just trying to figure out so what they knew.
They lived, they had conscience.
It's 10:25, yeah. So I'm going to have to get out of here.
Yes, Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless us to go forward in you, in Jesus' mighty name.